The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
She's got it. What is it? Oh, submission by Nibor for the Queen of Violence.
I love to work. I love to fight. I love to entertain people at home.
Ariane, Queen of Violence, Lipski!
She's got it. Andrade's going to tag it.
It's all over! Raquel Pennington!
I mean, every second that you're in this cage counts, whether it's the last second or not.
Rocky Pennington!
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous. Listen to me, we're at it.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. I am sitting in my underpants because it's very warm in my house. Today we have Ariane Lipski is on the show, as well as Raquel Pennington. And Raquel has not been on in quite a while. And this is Ariane's first appearance on UFC Unfiltered.
Not normally, but on here, I like meeting new people, Jimmy.
I do too. They always turn out to be nice. They always love you. I look a little thinner than normal. I'm just noticing that and decided to throw a little compliment into my fat face.
You know what sucks, Jimmy? My camera is kind of covering the top of your eyes, and I don't want to move it because I just look so great right here.
You do look good. Yeah,
that's a bad smile. I'll do the old, because it's low.
Yeah, do the, like the little growl. It's nice. Hold on, let me move my thing here. I'm moving something.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, moving something. So you kind of look like you look like Cyclops. Like let's say if Cyclops was like Steven Rogers before he took the super serum. What did I just witness? What did I just see? Did I just see Jimmy's little hiney? What? Am I nuts? Because I am a little high. Jimmy, what are you wearing? What the fuck are you wearing?
What's that, buddy?
What are you not wearing? Are you wearing underwear?
Yeah, I told you I'm wearing underwear. I'm wearing my Mac Weldon's. But I apologize. I can't have my air on. It's too hot in here, and the air conditioning makes too much noise, so I have to put this – I literally blow this thing on my bare legs like an old lady.
It shows you that I just don't listen. It's like my wife says. I don't listen, Jimmy.
That's okay.
Because you did say that about being in your underwear.
Yeah, but that's the reason I'm doing it. It's not because I think it's completely sensual. It's not. It's because it's hot, and this cool air blows on my legs.
I was reading up about Ariane Lipski.
What were you reading?
Oh, I mean, yeah, she – listen. Everybody loves a comeback story.
Yes, they do.
And, you know, she's down a couple of fights.
Yep.
Not only is she down a couple of fights, it's two of those fights are both second round TKOs.
Yeah. Good fighters, though.
It's the Jimmy.
Yes.
It's the fucking UFC.
Yeah.
You understand? They're all good fighters.
Well.
No, well, what are you trying to say?
Nothing.
Who do you got a bone to pick with?
Honestly, no one.
I know you don't got a. I know you don't got a. nothing. Who is Raquel Pennington fighting?
Pennington. She is fighting Penny Kianzad.
Who is it?
Penny Kianzad.
Didn't somebody have a name with like a bone in it? Didn't somebody have a name? Hey, hold on. Guys, you're not wrong. Didn't somebody have a nickname with bone something?
Possibly, yeah. I don't necessarily read the nicknames, but
wait. Well, it defeats the whole purpose of my joke.
What were you saying? I go ahead. Panic Kianza.
It makes no sense now.
Okay.
I thought we were talking about nicknames before or something, and somebody said something that rhymed with bone. No, Mandy.
Oh, bone. That's not a nickname. That's her name. So that now she's undefeated, 7-0. It's I believe her first fight in the UFC. She's fighting Lipsky.
I got confused.
Yeah. No, there's no bone. She's fighting Lipsky.
You have a bone to pick with somebody, but it does now that ship has sailed. Can we
sail? That ship sunk.
Can we? Can we forget that whole thing happened?
No. That should be that. That should be the promo for this week's episode.
I don't know what happened.
That should be the promo.
We get this all out of the episode.
No, that should be the promo for this week's episode.
It makes no sense. Let's start
exactly.
The show. Right?
Perfect.
Ready? Right now.
That's the end of the promo.
Who's on today's episode? Pretend like we started.
Well, we have Ariane Lipsky. You know that. And We also have Raquel Pennington.
Heard she has a bone to pick with her opponent. No? Does it work? Jimmy, but that was the setup I wanted to do originally.
Oh.
But it's not good at all. No, there's no. There's
well, no, because you were saying, wait, doesn't someone have a bone in their name? Isn't there a bone?
No, but you know what it was? In my
mind. Oh, you did fix it.
In my mind. I kind of fixed it.
Yeah.
Hey, Jimmy, welcome to UFC Unfiltered.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Hey, you want to hear about something depressing just to bring me back down?
Sure.
You know, I was devastated. And I had to take a totally fucking turn for the, you know, to be depressed. I'm so upset about Norm Macdonald passing.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Jimmy, I'll tell you right now.
Yep.
I watch when I'm bored or there's nothing on, I'm in my bathroom, whatever I'm doing. I'm on my iPad. I watch so many Norm Macdonald, his old podcast.
He's great.
He's just so, dude, he was so great. I mean, I'm
hilarious.
You don't know as a comic, you know? And I don't know his stuff. I don't like stories too much. I don't like long-winded comics. He's a fucking, I would listen to everything from his Morph joke on Conan to what is it? Just to all his stories, man. It's fucking, it was just a, just, what do you think of him as a comedian?
Hilarious. Norm was amazing because he could do one of two things. He could do the meandering, silly, slow story that would kind of have pointless asides that were just funny because you knew he didn't give a shit. But he could also do a perfectly constructed, brutal joke. Like, he could do whatever he wanted. And he, when he would, like, when he hosted the ESPYs, when you watch that, some of those jokes were amazing. And it's one of the best jokes ever written. His OJ joke at the ESPY. So he could do short, brilliantly crafted jokes, or he could do the long stories if that's what he felt like doing, just to sit in the discomfort. He was amazing.
I seen him, it's on YouTube, doing the presidential.
Oh, correspondence dinner, White House correspondence dinner, yeah.
That. I thought that because, first of all, you hear him like chuckle to himself. He doesn't care if their jokes, I'll tell you, like, no, they were laughing at some stuff, but other times it was just so awkward for everybody but him. He never got uncomfortable. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's almost like when he was telling his stories or jokes, he didn't care if they landed. I don't know if that makes sense. If they didn't land, he was still just, like, just happy, like going along. Just he looked like he was just as pleased.
Thing, you're right, and I'm sure he cared if they landed, but his way of being on stage was so, and he always seemed like he was in a pretty good mood too. And I think that helped too, is that he was just up there feeling good and enjoying himself. And I think that kind of helped people sit through stories because they're like, he's enjoying the fuck out of this. And it's funny, and it's just fun to kind of go onto this little trip with him, or for lack of a better word. And plus, it's just his delivery was perfect. His cadence when he spoke was very, very easy to listen to and great. He was just incredible.
And it's like, I heard nobody knew he was sick.
No, 9 years he had lung cancer. And I'm sure that like his closest friends might have known, but there was even certain family that didn't know.
Wow. Wow, he didn't want any pity.
No. And I was saying I was just the opposite. And it's funny, Joe List was on our show today. Said...
You were just the opposite.
Oh, meaning that, yeah. Like, Chadwick Boseman had cancer and never told anybody. And I'm always like, I'm amazed by these people, just the strength to get through and do their work, whereas I'm such a I would be like, I got cancer. Like I would tell everybody. But he didn't want special treatment. He didn't want people thinking of that. Just a great strength and fortitude.
When I see, you know, how I seen it. And I know we got Ariane Lipsky.
Ariane Lipsky, yeah.
Ready? I was on Instagram, and then you see, you know, one of those things with his date of birth to the diet. You know, the I don't know when he was born to this date. I'm like, you got to be kidding me! Like I didn't want to believe it. It's weird. You know, somebody impacted a lot of people when you don't even know them, obviously. And it hits more than most, only because you enjoy their work. And so you're never going to get that again. It's like, it's very upsetting. It's like, you know, not to be selfish. Yeah. You know what I mean, Jimmy?
Yeah, 100%, man. 100%. It's
this guy, he was unusually, he was unique, that guy.
Yes, he was. And every comedian loved him and respected him. Like if you're a guy who doesn't respect Norm Macdonald, you're a fucking idiot. I mean, it just doesn't make sense to not respect him and not love what he did.
It is crazy. Hey, man, let's get Ariane, let's begin.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
There she is.
Hello.
Queen of Islands. How are you?
I'm great. And you?
Good, good.
Well, you excited to get back in there? And
Yes. I'm always excited. I was excited to show my improvement and try to show more violence.
Yeah. How did you get the nickname? Obviously, did you choose it or did somebody say that you're really good at violence?
Yes, I mean, I had no nickname until I get my title fight in KSW. So they just give me the nickname, and then I was nice. This really looked like a nice nickname for me.
Oh, it's a great nickname. You know, the Queen of Violence.
Yeah,
sounds like something out of a comic book. So now, look, hey, exciting. When you win, and exciting, unfortunately, like sometimes when you lose, you know? So I know what it's like to come back after two losses. You have to be mentally strong. You have to remember why you got in the game in the first place, because you enjoy it. How are we mentally? I mean, how are we feeling?
Yes, I feel like I had this experience in my debut in UFC. I had my first loss. I mean, I had 9 wins consecutive in a row before I came to UFC, and then I fought against JoJo and I lost, and then I felt depression because I came to UFC with a lot of pressure, and people say, oh, if you win your fight against JoJo, you're going for the title fight, how do you feel? And I was like, it's just my first fight in UFC, and then I felt that pressure, and then I fought again, and I let that pressure, I didn't fight, you know, because I let that pressure say, you are not good enough, you know, I felt. And then after that, I had to recover that. And then I got to win in a row. And then it happened again, two loss in a row. And then I feel like I already passed for this, you know, I already went through for this. And now I know how to work with this, you know, I mean, I'm really focused on what I have to do. I mean, the result don't mean I'm not good enough. It does mean that I need keep improve and okay, not what I have to do to change, you know, to change the result, to change my game, and everything that we could do, we did. We moved to Florida. We are training at the American Top Team. I had great partners. I'm improving my wrestling. I'm training hard every day. So this is how I'm working my mind now. And like you told me, oh, you have to think for what we really fight. And this is what I'm thinking. I'm fighting because I'm a real fighter. You know, I don't choose fighter. I'm not fighting because I want people know me. I'm fighting because I want it to make me be a better person. No, like changing my feelings, changing myself. Okay, it was not that time. I was working hard. It's like, it's how I feel. It's for, I didn't choose fight. The fight chose me. This I will fight, whatever I will be, whatever the result, you know. This is, I loved this feeling, and I'm excited for sure. I want to win, but I want to fight. I want to have fun there.
Did you in the two losses you had taken when you first got to UFC, they were decisions, and then you said you won two, and then the other two you were stopped in the second. Did you do anything during either of these most recent losses because you had already lost two fights? Did it change anything in the middle of the fight that made you more vulnerable to a TKO? Meaning, did you take a chance that you shouldn't have taken?
Yes. I mean, in my last fight, like in the fight before against Antonina, she really got me surprised. I mean, I was expecting a striking fight and stand fight. She's a Muay Thai world champion. I was like, okay, now it's time to show my Muay Thai. And then she put me in the ground. I was like, really? I was not expecting that. So, okay, let's improve my wrestling. We have to change. And then we start training at American Top Team. And then against a striker, a fighter, Antonina, she's a striker, and she put me in the ground. And then I accept the fight against De La Rosa, a fighter that is a specialist in wrestling. I mean, I was like confident, but sometimes I'm too confident, you know, because I was training on 6 months wrestling, you know. It's not enough to my body be like get usually to make the right movements in the right time, you know. It's not like, oh, okay, in the guard you have to do this. Okay, now I can stand. It's not like this. You have to train, have to drill, and then you spar, and then you not work that movement, and then you have to drill again. Okay, you miss your hand in the right time, and then your body in the fight, they had the right reaction in the right moment. And then in the fight, I felt like I was 1 second late than her reactions, you know. I knew what I should do in the fight. I mean, okay, it's time to stand, it's time to fight to stand. And then she changed. When I was thinking what I had to do, she already was doing another thing. Because he is her specialist, you know. So there's no way to get better than is training. The only way is training, repeating, training, repeating, training. That's what I did, you know. I knew in the fight what I should do, but I didn't. My body was not ready to do the right movement, the right time. But now I think I am. I'm ready. I'm prepared because I trained and I could see the results in my last sparring.
How is the transition with moving over? So you lived in Brazil, you wanted to move to the USA, you're saying, because of wrestling. You guys had no wrestling over there. So how was the move? How is it living over here? How do you like living in the US compared to back home?
Yeah, I mean, after my fight against JoJo, I trained in Vegas a couple months, but I didn't feel like, I can live here, you know. And then we try to train in New Jersey, and I didn't feel like, no, it's not the right place here. And then we back to Brazil. We trained at our gym there in Rastai. We got two good results. I got my two first wins in UFC, and then, okay, it's nice here. We are at home, you know. And then after my fight against, and I was training there, I was training jiu-jitsu, because there we had a good jiu-jitsu and also good strike game. But then, you know, when I fought against Antonina, again, the wrestling, because jiu-jitsu, if you don't know how to use against the wrestler will stop your jiu-jitsu, you know, because they don't move. They stop the position and they just punch and don't move. In jiu-jitsu, you have to flow. So I needed partners that do wrestling to train with me, and then I can understand how to use my jiu-jitsu, you know, and then learn how I have to use the wrestling to win the fight, to decide, okay, how to decide. Now I want to stand, or I want to do a grab game. So that was the most important thing that we were looking for, in a place that had a lot of fighters, women's fighters, because I like to train with women. It's more real, you know. It's nice, it's important to train with the guys, but women is like the same strength, you know, the same reactions, the same time. And then the things just happen. I mean, we went to Florida, to Miami, and then the thing just flow to help us to move there. And there is so nice place. I mean, the weather, you know, I love beach. In my city, Brazil, there's no beach. And now I live like 20 minutes from the beach. There's so many good food, so many Brazilians, you know, I just love living there. And I mean, okay, now it's our home, you know, a nice gym, a nice place to live. And now we just move and we think to stay there until, I don't know, maybe forever.
Where in Brazil?
In Curitiba. In Curitiba, in the south of Brazil, is a cold place there. There's no beach there. It is a nice city. I really like there. You know, it's a very organized city, but it's cold. It's really cold.
Now, is it cold, or is it just cold compared to the rest of Brazil? Because Brazil is extremely warm.
Yes, it's cold compared to the rest of Brazil. Not like in Europe, not like New York, New Jersey, or Canada. You know, it's like it's some in the winter is like less than 0 degrees. Sometimes less 2 degrees. I don't know if you know the
degrees. Yeah, it's a little different in the.
Yes. It's cold. I mean, it's cold. Like, it's like this. It's like more cold, like in Vegas in winter.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah.
Still be nice for New York, though. It'd be pretty warm over there for us, though. Me and Jimmy would be in shorts and just relax. We'd be going to the beach.
Now, did you, your husband is your coach, right? And did you guys meet in the gym, or did you meet and then realize you both trained?
No. So we meet at the gym. I went to train with him because I started training when I was 16 years old because I was a little rebel, you know, a teenager rebel. And then they just wanted to fight. And then I started to train Muay Thai, but in a small gym, like in a small neighbor when I lived there. And then I didn't knew, like, I mean, MMA was not like too easy to live, to make money, you know, you can be a fighter and make money and live with just fighting. So I thought that, okay, I have to study and then had another professional, another job to can train. And then a friend of mine, she started to train with him and he, on that time, he had another partner and there's like 10 girls training together. And then when I was 18 years old, I went there to train. And then I saw how they were professional, you know. And then I saw he training, he teach, he make money fighting. And then I saw, oh, I can live. He live with this, you know. I can make money with this. This can be my professional. And then I meet him. And then at the time, we had a relationship more professionally, but then we start to live together too many times, not too much, like all the time, all day. And then the things just happened, but it was about 3 or 4 years after we were working that, okay, we're going to live together. So before he were my coach. And then after we get married, and then I respect him. I know how to separate, you know. I mean, I don't let our relationship make I don't respect him in the training, in my train, you know. I understand and respect what he say. But at that home, we separate everything.
Yeah, it seems hard. It seems hard to always, because if you have like a fight, then you have to go to work together. It seems like you have to be able to separate the two.
Yes. We don't like, how I can say, like fight. It's not fight. No, it's like we don't have bad times. We don't have too much bad times. We understand each other because we live like 24 hours, 24/7, all day, all the time. And so, sometimes I feel like he wants a free time from me, you know. Men had more this okay, go out with your friend. Let me go out with my friend. But I'd be like 3 hours without him and say, where are you? Tonight? I really like our relationship. I'm not the queen of violence at home.
I always like to hear what couples are watching, because me and my wife are always looking for new shows. Are you guys watching anything? Are you streaming anything on Netflix, or you watching some Brazilian soap operas? What shows do you guys watch?
In the afternoon, you usually watch fight because you have to study, or you watch some class, online class, jiu-jitsu class. You are always studying. But at night, we really like stop to work, and then we usually watch Netflix. When we are choosing something Netflix, we are choosing something about athletes, you know. We are too many addictive of our life. We really like our lifestyle. We really like what we do. We feel like we are in the right. We are like, we like what we do. No, we don't get tired to live this. And that's it. We like to go to see moves. Now with the pandemic, we can't go out, but we usually go to see some plays, you know, different plays. But we really like the part lifestyle.
Yeah. Oh, that's excellent.
Yeah.
Hey, we're looking forward to watching you fight again.
Yeah.
Everybody is.
And you're fighting Mandy Bohm, it's her first fight in the UFC. She's 7-0. She said, you guys had a fight about canceled. She's had a few in a row that were canceled. It looks like, what are you expecting out of her fighting? Cause you know what it's like to have the jitters, your first fight in the UFC. And what are you expecting out of her? And what do you think that you've learned, that will kind of, you know how to deal with somebody's first time in the UFC because you've gone through it.
Yeah, so I feel like the same. I mean, when I fought my debut UFC against JoJo, you know, I know I came with more pressure than her had now, than she has, but I feel like I can use my experience, not only UFC, but my experience, career, my age, everything to get this win. I know her style, but I don't know what she's going to bring, you know, and I don't want to get surprised. I mean, I'm more focused on really improve my game, because I feel like when I'm getting improved my wrestling, my grappling, I'm able to show more my strike. You know, I didn't felt this in UFC yet. I didn't could be like relaxed and comfortable to show my strike skills. And this is what I'm looking for, not I want to be a well-rounded fight, you know, complete fight that can win the fight like grappling or striking. But what I really want to show my skills in striking, because this is how I am. It's my style, you know, this is where I have fun. So for this fight, I'm really more think about she's striking, but she's going to try put me in the ground for sure. I mean, everyone going to do that now. And I'm gonna prepare for this, and I wanna be more relaxed. Not don't wait too much for the takedowns. Just flow and feel what she's gonna try, and you know, kicks, punch, and control the distance, and elbows, and clinch, and show everything that I know.
All right. Well, this is gonna be a great fight, and it's good talking to you. I'm glad you finally came on, and good luck against Mandy, and hopefully we'll have you on again.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, me too.
Do you want to do some picks?
Well, Joaquin Buckley, Antonio Arroyo, that's the first fight of the fight. I love Joaquin Buckley. 2-2 in the UFC. Antonio Arroyo is coming off. He's had two losses, 0-2 in the UFC. That's a dangerous guy, I think, when you're fighting someone who is 0-2 in the UFC. They know they are probably fighting to stay in the UFC.
It's true, Jimmy.
Yeah.
It's also true. There's a Netflix show called Kate that I think is about a female assassin. I didn't watch it.
Wait a minute. Is this with, hold on.
No, it's not with Michael Keaton. That's The Protégé.
Oh, this is called Kate?
What?
Kate?
I think it's called Kate.
Interesting.
Because somebody wrote to me like, hey, check this out. It's kind of like what you're talking about. It's good too. I don't know if it is or not. But The Protégé. Ooh, I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
You're a fucking negative Nelly, Jimmy.
No, I feel good, but I just...
Why would you even say eh? You're using a trailer.
You're right. No, you're right. I have not...
a trailer for it. How about you go, why don't I say eh? Why don't you go, ooh? Just say eh, ooh. That's ooh, like... Pretty
do tell. Ooh. Ooh la la. Do tell. Yeah, you're right.
That's not what I want.
All right.
When I go, oh, this is looking good. Right away, your first... Dude, tell me something. Give me something. Say something about something you're excited about. Just do please say something. And I'm just don't say something. Anything.
I'm taping Chip later. Okay, yucky. Something I'm excited about.
Yucky.
I'm finally eating better, so I'm trying to lose my tits and neck.
Well,
not much yet, right?
I mean, that's what I get from you.
I still look the same.
No, you look great. I was not about.
Oh, that. I see what you. Oh, I didn't realize what you're saying. Okay, something I'm really excited about.
I'm still playing.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Okay.
Something I'm excited about.
You look great.
Yeah.
Okay. Tell me something you're excited about.
Dude, I am in such a good mood because I have friends and they always give me awful reactions.
Well, yeah, that one. I don't know what this, you got me. I don't know what to do. Listen, you're the master. I'm just a Neanderthal. Listen, but seriously though, I tell you I like the movie and I'm excited about it and I get...
No, you told me about it already. It didn't seem great. I don't like assassin movies.
I know. I don't think I would have liked it either. But holy shit, was it good.
As long as it's not about somebody training some girl to go out and be an assassin.
No, it's not that at all.
Okay.
You got to see the way he met her. It's crazy. It's very... There's a lot of times you're watching this and you're going, all right, maybe it's getting a little talky. What the fuck? What happened?
Killed that person.
It's Jimmy, first of all, it's fun. I liked the characters and I liked the way it was delivered because there's a couple of twists. I'm not talking about no M. Night fucking Shyamalan. I'm talking about some things when you're like, oh, I really didn't see that coming. I absolutely did not know that.
Okay.
So I enjoyed it. And Michael Keaton, full on Michael Keaton mode. Just
I'm Batman.
He gives that little fucking... He's cool. He's a little flirty with the girl. He's a
very good actor.
It's not what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing with the face. That's not. How does Michael Keaton's face do his face?
I'm Batman.
No, you're thinking of Michael Bane.
No, I'm thinking of
Christian Bale.
No, Michael Keaton. I'm Batman.
No, but let's do the different ones. And then there's also Christian Bale.
Yeah.
I'm Batman. Hey. He's like this. Hey, it's Batman.
No, he did this. He went,
it's Batman.
Hey, Joker, what are you up to?
Oh, no, wait, hold on.
Was that not good?
Well, now you're just being silly.
Hey, that's, Joker.
No, that's not what he said at all. Now you just, he did his voice must have hurt.
Yeah, that hurts me just to do it for 10 seconds.
Dude, it hurt me too.
My masterful impression. And you've often said that your favorite Joker was Jared Leto, which I thought was very odd.
How about this? I don't think he was as bad as people said he was. He was a different...
You know what? I don't fault him at all. The costuming was toolish and douchey. And what did he have written on his head? Damaged? Ugh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, really? Oh, okay. Ugh. Okay. I want that same reaction when I get Darren Elkins on here and talk about his chest tattoo. I want you to give that. I'm going to go, hey, Darren, what does that say on your chest? He's going to say damage. What are you going to say?
Fucking awesome, dude. It's perfect. You know why?
Jimmy.
Because there's a difference. He's a guy who inflicts damage on people.
Yeah.
On the Joker, it was just corny and it was done to look ominous. Darren Elkins, he is ominous. He fucking hurts people.
I'm going to ask Raquel Pennington. You could ask her. She's going to be on now.
All right. She's coming in.
Well, you can ask her whatever you want. Okay. I'm going to ask you two questions.
What do you ask her? I won't step on your question. That's why I'm asking. Okay.
Are you fucking with me?
No, I want to know what you're going to ask her.
Okay. Favorite Batman and favorite Joker. That's what I'm
okay.
Okay.
Hi, Raquel. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Who's your favorite Batman? We were just talking about that.
Raquel, how are you?
Sorry, was that your question, Matt? I apologize.
I wanted to ask you two questions, and Jimmy Jimmy's being, like he often is, a bully.
I apologize. Okay? Ask about the Joker.
I want to ask. No, we were talking about it. You're a big bully, and you ruined my question. Raquel, first of all, how are you? You look good.
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Which is your favorite Batman, and which is your favorite Joker?
As in, like, the movies?
Yes. And if you don't watch them, this is a Jimmy's immature question.
That's the perfect reaction to that question.
Jimmy did this on purpose. Just anybody.
Honestly, I like Dark Knight. I think it's Dark Knight. And then...
Oh, there you go.
I haven't watched any of the Jokers.
Well, you know what? You answered the question for me, because Heath Ledger, Christian Bale, you hit them both nail in the head.
So, absolutely. Anyway,
what's up?
Out of here.
How are you? Yeah, you can jump in.
Yeah. Now, are you a big comic book movie person, or what do you enjoy?
I'm not. It just kind of depends on my mood. But I mean, for the most part, I like comedies. I like action films, rom coms. It just really depends on what I'm feeling.
Are you streaming anything? Are you watching any series out there?
Honestly, I haven't even been watching much TV. I don't know. This camp, I've been doing like a lot of shotgun journaling at night when I chill out. And then
Yeah, man. The boss.
And then I interview. I've been reading.
Oh, what have you been reading?
I'm booting my coaches. They're yapping.
Later, guys. She's kicking you out. Later, guys. That's some boss stuff right there.
Right now, I'm currently reading a book that some friends recommended. It's called The Perfect Marriage. And it's like a crime series right now. It's actually pretty good. Oh. So,
ooh. Is it like a Snapped episode?
No, it's about like a guy. He like his wife is like a top lawyer. And he went and had an affair. They have like a lake house. He had an affair. And then the mistress, she was murdered. Now like the wife is defending him, but then she also just found out he cheated, so it's like this whole ordeal, and I was just like, all right, lots of drama.
That's a lot of drama.
Wow. So do you wait, is it true, or is it a novel, or is it like true crime?
I think it's just a novel.
Oh, okay.
But I'm sure it's related to many true stories, so
yeah.
I sometimes watch too many of those, either Datelines or Snapped, and then I'm like, all right, I gotta watch something to bring me back up, because it's too much evil. I'm like, it's a little too much death.
Yeah.
In a Seth Rogen movie, or watch one of Jimmy's specials on Netflix.
That's also depressing. Now, are you engaged?
Am I engaged?
You are, yeah. Are you and Tisha engaged?
No.
Oh, you're not. I thought you said you're engaged. Okay.
Hey, listen.
I'm busy for everything.
What's that?
I said life is too busy for everything.
Honestly, have you ever been married? Nah, me neither. Like, I it scares me. The older I get, the more it's... And ain't nobody wants to marry me. So there is that. But I mean, it does kind of freak me out. Like, relationships are great, but there's just something about being married that really scares the shit out of me.
I'm kind of actually the same way. It's funny. I do want to get married at some point, but I believe in marriage once. So I'm like, but then when I start thinking about it or start planning it, it gets a little sketchy. And I'm like, we're busy. We're busy.
Yeah.
Yay. It's no rush. Hey, Jimmy, if that was anybody else, you're gingerly going around this. But if this was I'm just saying, it's funny. You threw that out there. Somebody else would be like, hey, dude, why are you putting the pressure on me? Raquel, you can tell them to calm down with that question.
I know. What the heck? It's fight week. Let's
that. You're right. And I apologize. And what happens is we prepare by going over our prep sheets, and they all give us facts. And that was one of the facts that was listed. So I figured I would just talk about that, but it's not true. So I'll forget I even asked it, and I'll execute somebody after the show. Of course it was.
Oh, I can't wait to read that. Let me read it.
Yeah, I wouldn't just make that up.
Oh, all producers are the best.
I wouldn't just make that up for no reason and just throw it at you.
So fucking great. Oh, shoot. Hey, you might have wanted to pretend like you were engaged to get our guys out of trouble, because they're going to hear some shit after this, Raquel.
Oh.
That's okay, though. Raquel, it's fight week.
Yeah,
it's been a year and a half. I mean, are we chomping at the bit here or what? I mean,
listen, it has been a long ass year and a half. I cannot even explain my emotions for this week. Like, I am beyond excited. This year has been like a lot of self-growth for me. in general. But just kind of, I don't know, there's been a major shift. And not to mention, like I said, I mean, having such a lengthy time off, like, where the heck is the motivation in that? Like, I am so motivated to get back out there.
Yeah. What have you spent this year kind of doing? What have you been concentrating on, or what have you been focusing on that you wanted to, that was something that you felt like, yeah, I kind of want to put some energy here.
You know, I focused a lot on myself. There's just, I'm super OCD and like, I just like my life together in general. And so, I mean, I had nothing else to do besides kind of hang out for one. And I got a lot of stuff done outside as far as my house and projects I've been putting off for ages. But then on top of that, like, you know, I've always been the athlete and the person. I coach high school gymnastics and stuff. And then I'm always sitting here doing guest speakings, everything. And at some point, I don't even know where I kind of like lost myself a little bit. It's like I wasn't paying attention to the things out of my mouth or what I'm telling like my athletes. And then I've always like watched my film. I've watched my opponent's film and kind of just always grown. Like, it's like, okay, I pick apart things and like just grow. And I got to a point that like, I quit paying attention to things. Like, I just like, where was like my true passion? Where was my grind for all that? So, you know, I kind of hit the reset button and like faced all that, watched a bunch of stuff, really picked myself apart, and realized like a lot of emotions that I was actually holding in for a while now. And then, you know, I mean, this whole thing with USADA, like, it's been extremely frustrating. So kind of just like understanding and like learning a lot of patience. I already had to learn a lot of patience when it came to my long layoff of 18 months and surgery and then a broken leg and all this stuff. So now this kind of was just like the cherry on top to everything. In there, I went through a bunch of sports psychology and like just found like a better place with that. I just feel like I really like came in tune with myself. I started, I switched up some stuff in my camp, started training different. And, you know, I focused a lot on like my emotional and mental state. But then on top of that, I was battling like my thyroid issue for the last 3.5 years. And I finally got that under control in a natural way, to get past all this USADA bullshit. And so, it's just been one thing after another. And I think a big part of me, you know, I didn't realize how like sometimes fear can actually get you. And I didn't realize like I have such an outgoing, crazy, busy lifestyle that I didn't realize a part of me was like living in fear and letting those emotions get to me. And I actually was supposed to fight Panny on the June 12th card, that pay-per-view. And I had a pull because in April, I ended up getting sick with COVID and I ended up in the hospital twice. I was on oxygen. I was on steroids.
Oh, wow.
Lungs. Like, I have never been in a place where I felt that. And like, for being like physically fit and all this stuff and the way my body was just like shutting down on me, it got really scary. And I remember laying in bed at one point and I was like, this cannot be it for me. Like, I had a really rough go. I was sick for over 31 days and it was just, it was rough. And so after that, kind of really changed my perspective. Cause it was like, all right, like now, like I just really don't give a shit and I'm ready to like go to the next level with everything.
That's really scary to hear too, because I mean, you're in fighting shape and you're in great health. And I, on the other hand, struggle to do sets of 20 pushups. So if you wound up in the hospital, I would be in deep shit. That's always frightening. And the USADA shit you talked about, that's all cleared up. And can you just give a quick synopsis on exactly what happened for anybody who's not aware?
When I had my layoff after Misha, I had major surgeries. And then in there, I developed a hypothyroidism. At first, they were testing me for thyroid cancer, and then they were testing me for, like, autoimmune diseases to try to figure it out. And then because it just, like, it was all over the place, and it boiled down to hypothyroidism. I was on medicine, but the medicine wasn't working. I shot up to 174 pounds, the biggest I've ever been in my life. Like, it didn't matter how I ate, didn't matter how I trained. My weight was not going anywhere. I was losing my hair and balding. And so it was just a rough go for a while, and I mean, they followed my history and stuff. Well, then I ended up seeing a hormone specialist to try to like figure out how we can like balance everything. Cause then I just started having other issues throughout my body. And the hormone specialist ended up putting me on some medicine. Well, I'm super estrogen dominant and like produce zero testosterone. So then they were concerned about like being estrogen dominant. They were like, oh, well, breast cancer and all these other things. And so like, it was just, honestly, like all this news that was constantly scary. And then they were like, you know, we're going to put you on a microdose of testosterone And I was like, I'm a tested athlete. Like, I can't be on anything. And they're like, this is literally a microdose to get your body to understand that it should naturally produce this. And hopefully we can get you naturally going. It went from that. But the supplement that I ended up taking was like 7-keto DHEA or some shit. But the doctor, you know, I was like, wait a minute, like this ain't even testosterone. And they were like, no, but it increases the thyroid of the activity. And the other part of it, like, I guess people can use it for fat burning or whatever other purposes. So anyways, I called USADA, or I called UFC for a TUE to, like, obviously I'm just trying to simply get healthy. And when I called for the TUE, they
were— What is a TUE?
It's like the exemption form.
Oh, okay.
And it was just like, nope, instead you need to turn yourself in. It's like, turn myself in for what? And I was like, why do you even offer a TUE program then? I don't understand it, because everybody that I've talked to, they get denied for the TUEs and then everybody's in trouble. And so it was like super frustrating. I had to turn myself in. They sent USADA out. I got tested. Like 5 days later, they back out, retested me. It was already out of my system. And then they were like, oh, well, since you came forward, we're going to give you a retroactive suspension of 6 months.
Wow.
It was just extremely frustrating, because it's like, for one, I had to put out a public statement. Why do I even need to do that? Because people who don't understand stuff, they take it absolutely wrong. So then now I had to deal with, oh, cheater, doper, loser, all this crazy bullshit, all because I'm trying to figure out something that I've been struggling with for a few years now and that highly runs in my family.
A legit health issue that had nothing to do with enhancing your performance. And you called them and it wasn't in your system by the time. Yeah, I understand why that's very frustrating. Where they, instead of saying, hey, it's good that you spoke up and it's not in your system and wanting to check the medical records, they punish you for being honest.
Yeah, that's the part that I didn't get. Like, it was just like, and finally I got to a point because they were like, oh, most get suspended for 2 years for this. And it's like, if you want to suspend me and do this bullshit, like, I don't even know. I got to a point that I was like, freaking suspend me then, because I'm not doing anything. And then on top of that, if you look into what the other, like I said, the other effects, like what, I'm going to sweat a little bit more and burn some fat. Oh, wow. Like, how is that going to enhance my performance any? And so it was just extremely frustrating, but it is what it is. I found a good mind frame through it all and a lot of positive came from it. And so, you know, I mean, it's been a good time off for me.
It's in the past and it looks like you're in great shape now. So it's good that we got that.
Absolutely.
That's gotta feel better than anything, knowing, all right, now I'm training and everything's back to normal, as it seems.
Yeah, it is. I like I said, I'm excited. I'm in great shape again. I finally feel like myself, but I just feel like a calmer, wiser, more mature version. And I'm excited.
Yeah, well, I'm happy that you're fighting again. And it makes things, again, the fighters, everything seems back to normal. And is this in the, this is at the Apex too. This might be a small audience there.
Yeah, they're doing a small audience. I originally wanted to fight on the pay-per-view card and they moved it. So then I had the fight moved and then now they moved the pay-per-view back. But it works, you know. I mean, being on the Ultimate Fighter show, it's just like being on the Ultimate Fighter.
True.
Isn't it awesome, the Apex? Because again, fights that might have to get pushed back or compete for, like, the fact is they have this place to have these fights, so people don't have to stall or wait a longer amount of time than they should to get fights that they want to get. I think it's great that they have that.
Absolutely. I agree. I think it's awesome. You know, we were just talking about it and it's like, you know, at the end of the day, like, I, like, obviously huge stage. It's kind of weird how I ended up in this sport because I'm actually stage fright. And so I get super nervous for like ceremonial weigh-ins, all the weird things. And so now I was like, if I'm still making a paycheck and that ain't changing any, and I'm going out there and doing what I love. And then it's just like being in the gym and I can hear my coaches. Shoot, it's a win for me.
That's great. What do you think of the smaller cage? I was in there over the weekend. I was shooting something over there and I'm like foot cage. I'm like, yo, it feels different to me. I'm like, oh, this is not, I wish I had this when I was fighting, get a hold of some of these fuckers.
Oh yeah. I actually was in there earlier. I was doing my media stuff and, you know, I started on my side and took those few steps to see how far it took to get to the center. And I was like, oh, this is perfect.
Makes a difference.
I'm sorry. You said you're OCD. Were you saying that just in kind of an expressive way, or is it something that you really do? Because I have little moments of it. And if so, does it affect your training at all where you have to, like, you know, certain people who are OCD will only leave at a certain time or do this at a certain time?
It's not that bad. Mine is more like at the hotel room. It's funny because everybody's like, I don't want a room with you, because I like stuff in place. So even though I'm going somewhere, like, I keep all my stuff organized and do everything. My house, I like to be extremely organized. Like, I'm the type of person that, like, as soon as something, like, I constantly have to clean it. I have my, like, Saturday night party is cleaning my house. Like, I like to have, like, clean things and everything kind of, like, organized. My freaking closet's color coordinated. Like, it's like that. But I'm like, I'll be late to training sometimes. Like, my time management is terrible.
Oh, okay.
How's your girlfriend with that? How's Tisha with that?
Polar opposite. Polar opposite. So my OCD is crazy, to say the least, because it's polar opposite.
You'd be a killer roommate. I would love to have a roommate that cleaned everything. How awesome would that be? Because, like, I would throw stuff and, like, hey, leave it there. And just knowing that it would drive them nuts and that they would hang it up, that's got to be great.
Not like my best friend. I finally got that. Like, we lived together for about a year. And I don't know. It's a big joke. She calls me her housewife because I would always clean up after her. And then finally I was like, I am not like your housewife here. Clean your crap up. And so I would try to, like, leave the dishes in the sink that weren't mine, and it would just keep stacking up, and then it would make me crazy inside. So then eventually, like, I would clean them, but don't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm such a piggy. I just went away with my wife and she cleans up everything. She's like, I can't do the socks. There's socks. How do you get this everywhere? There's like 10 pairs. And I looked, I go, yeah. I go, it's a little breadcrumbs to my heart, I tell her. But anyway, I ended up cleaning them up. It's not a great story, Jimmy.
No, it's, I understand it. I mean, it's
big. I'm a mess. But anyway, I guess opposites attract with something.
Like, I get a little messy during fight camp because you're tired. You come home from training, you throw stuff around. But then as soon as I don't have training, that's what my weekends are about. And I go through and, like, tighten everything back up.
It's a good thing to have. I need a little bit more OCD. I got ADD.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, squirrel.
I have both. So, like, I literally start cleaning and I just forget what I'm doing and I go do something else. My life is in complete disorder. So yeah,
I'll
at least OCD.
Cleaning, like, upstairs, and then something will go on in my head and I, like, end up cleaning, like, my main floor, and then I end up back upstairs and then I end up in the basement. But somehow everything eventually gets cleaned. I bounce. And I think that's why I work with the team, because my coaching staff are the biggest squirrels I've ever met. Like, one of them, he has to have his stuff in a little Ziploc baggie to travel with, or he constantly loses shit. The other one's like talking about one thing and then he just squirrels off and it's like, what are you doing? And then the other one today, I gave him my water bottle and I was like, hey, this is your job because I'm going to lose it. He had it for maybe 5 minutes and then we lost it and we're running around the Apex trying to find it.
Yeah, sometimes you got to just do things yourself as opposed to trusting other people.
Yeah, right.
All I know is you gave your staff a look like a mother out with their kids at a supermarket. Like, you better. And they just all filed out. Like,
they went, out.
Hey, Raquel, you are right here for this fight. And everybody's, even your staff ain't messed. Your coaching staff's like, oh, they ain't messing with you. That was awesome to see.
I was hungry. It's like, we got to get out of here. I'm hungry.
Well, it's good talking to you. We're happy you're back. And you seem like great. You look great. You look you're really focused and your spirit seemed to be in the right place. So
just chilling, waiting for that time to pass and Saturday to get here. I'm excited.
All right. We'll talk to you on the other side then and have a great fight. And it's always good talking to you.
Sounds good. Thank you. It was good talking to you guys.
This is what I will tell you.
Yes.
Me and my wife, very compatible.
Yeah.
Yeah, we go away and it's like a best friend you get to attack every night. Ah! Here it comes, Miss Sarah. No, listen. I'm just saying, I've been with her 20 years altogether. And we still have a blast.
Yeah.
And we see good movies on a fly. Just like the other day when we saw The Protégé with Maggie Q.
What is that?
Keaton. It's the movie about an assassin who gets trained at a young age. Anyway, listen, there's more to it. There's everything in it. Jimmy, what do you want to plug? Oh, let's do a couple of picks.
Okay.
A couple of picks. Smith versus Stan, UFC Fight Night. UFC Fight Night this Saturday, September 18th, at the Apex Center in Las Vegas. The prelims start at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. The main card, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Sorry, I'm just trying to say, maybe I could do this voiceover thing.
Let's hear it.
I'm going to fucking agents to call me. I think maybe they... I maybe prematurely announced that I might be talking to some agents. But that was with me and Dean Thomas. You were on the show. You came on the show a little later that day.
Yes, I did.
All right. So let's get right back to business. Jimmy, let's start. Let's do the co-main and main. Let's do that.
Okay.
All right. That keeps it nice and simple. Cuda Laba. Who are you going to pick? Cuda Laba or Devin Clark? Cuda Laba. Who do you want? Oh, you want to sing too, my little bird?
No, I don't know. Let me see.
So depressed about Noel McDonald.
I know.
I'm gonna agree.
It's tough there. Both. I mean, you know, Devin is coming off of that loss to submission loss to Anthony Smith.
Jimmy, not to cut you off. I remember watching a show of Norm MacDonald on Larry King.
Yes. And
Larry King passed away also too.
Yeah, he did.
So it's so odd because they were talking about death and stuff like that on it. So, you know, Norm was talking a little bit about like his faith or whatever. And the other guy, Larry King, didn't believe in it. So he's just like, you know, he was afraid of death. And it's just weird because they're both not here anymore.
Yep.
All right. Back to the co-main event, Jimmy. Sorry to get morbid on you.
I'm going to take Devin Clark.
Ooh, where are you taking Devin?
I'm going to take him in a decision.
Just the best thing to do is just ignore me mostly. I promise. I know when you don't do anything, it's like, all right, start to act a little bit your age. And I don't mind it. Right now at the 57 mark of the show. All right, here we go. I'm going to pick. So you're going with who?
I am going with Devin Clark by decision.
I'm going to say Devin Clark submission.
Okay.
Submission, second round, maybe a head and arm choke. That's what I'm kind of feeling, you know? Or maybe he'll get mounted, do some damage, like back in the day, like take a page out of Glover Teixeira book. I wish I didn't stutter when I said that.
It's okay.
But I'm taking second round finish by Devin Clark.
Ryan Spann, Anthony Smith.
You're off with that one.
I know. I'm just.
Yeah. All right. Hey, listen, man. Anthony Smith is like, listen, you thought I was gone.
I know.
But I am back. I could submit people. I could knock them out. I am well-rounded. I am the Lionheart. Right. Listen, but he's going for, this is like a superhero comic book. Oh,
I know.
This is Lionheart versus Superman.
Who are you taking?
Well, Jimmy, that's what it comes down to. And I know what you're thinking, that he got caught by Jay Walker. So maybe, you know, we've seen, you know, the best and the worst of Span. I'm saying this. How old are these guys? How come we don't have ages on this fucking thing? All right. Right now, our guys are like this.
33 and 30. Oh, you asked the age.
They're young guys. I didn't ask you.
Yeah.
But thank
33
you.
For Anthony Smith. Ryan Spann is 30.
All right. I don't know, man.
I know who I'm taking.
Oh, Jimmy, go ahead.
Spann, third round stoppage. That little 3-inch reach advantage, I think, is going to make a difference.
Very, very interesting, man.
But I hate picking against Anthony because I like him so much.
I like them both.
Yeah, me too.
I like me some Ryan Spann. But you know, Anthony's got a little bit of momentum on him.
Yeah, he does. Although Ryan has won 9 out of 10 fights.
That is, I know.
Nine out of 10 fights. Anthony, I think he's on a 2-fight win streak. But again, Anthony's probably been fighting a slightly higher-ranked fighter. So that doesn't mean anything.
All right, this is what I'm going to do. You took Spann. I'm having a hard time going against Spann.
Yeah.
To be honest with you. But I don't want to pick the same guy as you either.
Well, you can.
Jimmy.
I'm an influence. It's okay.
Ooh. This is what I'm doing, buddy. I will meet your Span, and I'll meet you with Span with a Smith, and I will take Smith.
Okay.
And this is what I'm going to say. Hard time with this one, man. I don't know, man. You said he won 9 out of 10?
Yeah. His only loss was Johnny Walker.
Really?
Yeah.
Third round stoppage, Span.
That's what I got.
Did you say that?
TKO or stoppage. Wait, that's fine.
Did,
no,
did you say third round?
Yeah. Take it. That's fine. Whatever you got. Take what you go.
No, I'm not taking it. I'll say second round stoppage, Span.
Okay. Apparently don't think much of Anthony Smith. I mean, I know Anthony Smith.
First of all, that's wrong. And that's why we don't do this.
No, it literally.
First of all, Smith is an analyst also. I'm not.
He understands. It doesn't mean anything. It's like you're watching fights. It's an event. As fans, you make a pick who you think is going to win. It doesn't mean
anything. You're right, Jimmy. I'm sure he's not going to be hurt if something happens and he knows that you'll be watching and that maybe his fan hits him and you're going to be like, kill him! Kill him! I'm sure he's not going to take. Listen, he knows it's a sport.
That's right. But I don't yell that.
Take out his lion heart and eat it! Caught Jimmy.
We'd never say that.
Too far.
I know.
Jimmy, what do you want to plug?
I got dates coming up in 2 weeks. I'm going to be in Buffalo, New York. I have Manhattan, New York City, Carolines. I got Philadelphia. I have Atlanta. I have Boston, and I have Connecticut. Go to jimnorton.com if you want tickets to see me, and why wouldn't you?
Jimmy, I'm sorry. We really should. First of all, they should. Let's read off the results to the guys. Got 5 contracts awarded again for the 3rd straight week. That's not normal.
What'd you say, buddy? I didn't hear you.
The Dana White Contender Series.
Yes.
I think that these guys deserve just because there's 5 of them. 5 contracts.
Crazy.
I mean, it's fucking crazy. If you wanted to read off their names, you just do it. So it just goes off your tongue. Is it so much better than mine?
Jayuton Almeida beat Nasrudinov. It was a submission, rear naked choke. Albert Duraev, Albert Duraev over Bittencourt, again, by a submission.
Neck crank.
Yeah. Lucas Bresky over Dylan Potter. Jack Della Maddalena over Lusa. And I don't know how to say Jasmine's last name. Jazdavidis. Jasmine Jazdavidis over Palastri via unanimous decision.
Hey, dude, I'll take a couple.
I apologize if I did not get some of those names correct.
A couple of decisions, but nice night for jiu-jitsu. I love some nice submissions, Jimmy.
Yeah.
I'm a jiu-jitsu man. Listen, go to Matt Sarah BJJ on Instagram. Go to sarahbjj.com. If you, hey, look what I'm wearing. Oh my, it's
very nice.
Jiu-jitsu. That's my name. Anyway, you can get a shirt like this. Maybe a Kimura Savage. Who knows? Maybe soon Sarah Academy Espresso Cups. I don't know. Sky is the limit.
Good, buddy.
Also, you can get me on Cameo. Love you, Jimmy. I'll be the way over the weekend.
Thank you to Ariane and Raquel. It was fun talking to them.
Always.
And before we should say, I'll yell at the producers after.
Jimmy, you know what? Let's save next week. We just start yelling at them. And let's pick up right where we left off.
Let's.
Bye, everyone.
Goodbye. Yeah,